I'm Stu Simpson, and welcome back to the Stu Simpson Show podcast. If you are coming back, if you have for the first time, well, welcome. This season of the Stu Simpson Show podcast, we're talking about everything LGBTQIA+. And today we have a very special guest, a very good friend of mine who's been on the show before. This is Rob DeRush. And today Rob's going to be talking about the Forest Gate Pride Festival. Hello, Rob.
Oh, hi, Stu. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm at your house.
So. It's true. You are in my house, yeah.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for coming on the show. It's when is Forest Gate Pride this year?
Forest Gate Pride is going to be on the 12th, 13th, and 14th of July.
Tell us a little bit, well, tell us a lot about Forest Gate Pride. How did it start, and when did it start, and why did it start?
Of course. Okay. Thank you. It started in 2017. Around that period of time, there were lots of people who had become sort of alienated and disenfranchised by the main London Pride. Accessibility was an issue for a lot of people, especially if neurodivergent needs or physical disability needs. And people were just not feeling like they could connect to this huge monster of an event. So as a result, around that time, I don't know, it was sort of in the zeitgeist and it was in the air at the time that about five or six different localities around London decided they were just going to have their own smaller pride in their own area to support the locals that lived in their area. So I know places like Greenwich and Walthamstow and us out here in East London in Forest Gate, you know, we started up, you know, just to basically have a celebration of who we are in a sort of local space and environment.
And is there anybody who runs, other than yourself, who is part of the Forest Gate Pride committee?
Well, we started out, Angie Maley, Karen Harrison, and myself. We were sitting around in the pub one day and decided, you know, that, you know, enough was enough. And we wanted to celebrate Pride, you know, mm-hmm. on our own terms and not having to buy a ticket, you know, to protest and show our pride. So, you know, we thought we'd just have a small pride in our local or in our locality where we are. So we organized something in the back of this cafe, and there was so much demand for it that, you know, we had about 200 people that wanted to come to this. So we had to move it from the cafe because it couldn't hold that capacity. So across the road to the pub that was across the street. Now, at the time, there was a gay man there, Richard, who said, "Hey, yeah, let's do something here in my space." He offered up the space, and that became our first Pride. You know, he had a stage, he knew a drag queen, and, you know, that's how we started. Now, it's gone from like that one night event mm-hmm. to we have the Forest Gate Pride festivals over 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We involved a lot of different different community stakeholders in Forest Gate Pride. So we have our local, we have two community gardens that participate. We have some businesses that always, you know, stand up and, you know, show support and solidarity. We have Clapham Football FC Football Club that they always put on matches during the day, and that brings a lot of people to the area. And this year we have a Sunday that's with salsa dancing and swing dancing. Cool. We have some choirs that are going to be performing. It's a whole weekend of celebrating our queerness.
And as the years have gone on, I've noticed that there's different, because I've participated.
Yes.
And there's been lots of incredible different performers, but you've also had art exhibitions and things like that. So, so what can people expect this year?
Sure. This year we have lots of things going on at the market. So during the day, let me back up a little bit. So on our Friday night, we usually have this gala kickoff. We have, that's more of our hoity-toity, you know, intellectual part of the evening where we talk about you know.
Is it in the library again?
It's at the library, yeah. It's at the library where we have keynote speakers come and speak about various topics. We have a historian coming this year who delves into the archives, looks for, you know, things that might suggest that someone may have been, you know, LGBT plus, and sort of they tell their stories, and they're fantastic storyteller. We have some academics coming to talk about queer identity and that sort of thing. And that's usually sponsored. We have a buffet, and, you know, we have, you know, drinks and stuff at that thing. Then we go to the Forest Tavern after that. On the Saturday, the main focus during the day is at the marketplace, the Woodgrange Market, where we invite lots of different organizations and charities from, the LGBT community, like AKT and Stonewall Housing. And we have just lots of different Positive East, like just various organizations that deal directly with the LGBT plus community to talk about what they do, who they are. We even give them a little soapbox that at some point during the day they can get up and speak. We usually have performers as well throughout the afternoon. Then wraps up around 4 o'clock. We head over to the tavern. We have drag kings and drag acts, and we have a really good DJ. This year we have DJ Joe Bunny and Gareth Hackney, who...
Oh, Gareth's back. Yay.
Gareth is back, yes. And they're more recognized as their DJing roles at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern in London. And they always do a really great show. And we dance into the night, have fun, have a good time. Then Sunday we have the Up Garden that's hosting a whole series of events. And there'll be choirs performing. There'll be stuff for the queer families. There'll be, swing dancing, and there'll be salsa lessons, and, you know, lots of drummers will be performing. That sort of thing will be happening there. It's all happening here in Forest Gate.
It's so much to orchestrate. I mean, do you need more help to get these things done?
We always need help, usually on the day, you know, to help, you know, just oversee, making sure everything's running smoothly. And sometimes, you know, we need tables unloaded from a van or, you know, those sorts of things. We're always in need. We go up the high street and we just put flags on the flagpoles, and they usually don't last the night, but, you know, that's okay. They're there for the day and on the Saturday. And that actually, to be fair, there's some of them are there on the Sunday too. So, you know, just making our mark and that as well.
Well, I came to the choir thing last weekend.
Yeah.
And I did hear some people talking and saying that it's because it's such a grassroots thing that it's so important to them because they don't feel as if they can identify with the bigger prides.
Yeah.
And how does that make you feel? I mean, it's such an important thing. I was really impressed with the fact that somebody came along and went, this means so much to me that I've come across from the other side of London to be a part of this thing because it speaks to me more than the big pride does.
And I think that's what the consensus is starting to become. You know, it's the alienation that people are feeling with, you know, pride in London. You know, millions, you know, a million people come to this parade, you know, and it's hard to find oneself in a crowd of that space. You know, they focus on, you know, that I don't want to diss what London Pride does, because I think on a global level, you know, they're important. You know, they're really important to show what kind of country, what kind of place we live in. I mean, when it comes to, you know, people that live here, I think people want more of a personal connection, you know, that their sense of pride is a very intimate element of who they are. And sometimes it can be quite fragile because, you know, with internalized homophobia and, you know, just homophobia in general that we get from society, you know, that sense of pride that people have can often be not as strong, and they need that personal connection with a community that they can identify with in order to foster that and build it up.
Yeah.
And I think you don't get that when you're standing in a crowd of a million people per se. You know, you don't have that. Well, you have that autonomy, but that's not what you're really looking for in a thing like that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I found with the Roots Pride, it feels more like all the little small Roots Pride festivals I've been to. That's more of like, it feels like a cuddle. Feels the community's gathering around and supporting each other.
Yeah.
But a big pride feels much more like a, almost like a smack in the face, but not in a terrible way, but more like a big F you to anybody who's not being supportive. And from my experience from like the early, my first pride I came to in London, and it was in 1997, and it's grown massively to the point where I'm there. I was there last year with a straight friend and their non-binary child. And there was more straight people than there was LGBTQIA people.
Yeah.
And it was that's a little bit shocking. And then you got like Kylie and all these sort of like huge artists. And I'm going, well, this has got, for me personally, it was like, I don't feel as if I belong here anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, like last year you had Andrew, was it Andrew Lumsden?
Andrew, yeah.
And he was one of the founding members of the protest, which was Pride, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. He was the original member. Bless him, he's passed away last year, shortly after our Pride event. But he was one of the original organizers of the first protest march in the UK, after going to New York to see the birth of the Gay Liberation Front, the GLF, who started up in response to the Stonewall riots that happened. And they were organizing the first protest marches in 1968 in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew and some of his friends at the time went to New York to see what they were doing to organize this and, you know, get that. And then here we are in 1972, I believe it was, you know, we had our first protest march as well. Yeah, and we had Andrew last year to come and speak at the Forestgate Pride, talk about the importance of grassroots prides and why we need them, and to not lose sight of the fact that it is a protest. You know, Pride will always be a protest. You know, and it's sort of over time it's been sanitized, you know, because it used to be this protest march, and then it became a protest, it was a protest march, and then it became like a pride parade,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is quite different, I think. The mindset shifted, so we can't lose sight of that. And I think in grassroots prides, we remain vigilant. And that's always in the forefront of what we're doing, making sure that we're, you know, keeping true to that.
I think a lot of people don't realize there's like 64 countries around the world where identifying as LGBTQIA, etc., is illegal. It can end up, you can be put in jail, you can be killed for it. And it's, I think it's the responsibility of everybody else out there to stand together and show not that it's just a big party and everybody's waving nice flags around like your t-shirt, and you often say we need more than rainbows.
Yeah.
And because it's so important that we stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves, and we stand together. And I think that what you do, I think you don't realise how important what you do here is, because you've got a full-time job, you've just moved into a new home, you've created this whole new life for yourself, and you're a musician, as well as running Forestgate Pride. You do so much, and I really don't know where you find the time.
I don't know how I find the time, but yeah, no, it's they're passions, and you know, it's what I do. So yeah, I just enjoy those things, and I will admit, like initially I could honestly say that a part of it was I wanted to start up LGBTQIA plus organization or group for selfish reasons, because I wanted, you know, to connect with people in my community. And I thought, you know, if it's not here, then we have to build it, you know. So this was my motivation for, because, you know, I wanted to connect with people. I wanted to feel like I belonged to something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't here. You know, the pubs are disappearing. You know, they're, you know, the queer space is really under a lot of threat. You know, and I think, you know, if you don't build it, you know, you can't wait around for someone else to do it. You got to do it yourself. So that's basically what we did. We started Fourscape Pride.
Speaking on a personal level, I've never lived anywhere before where I've felt a part of a community in the sense that around my sexuality, I've felt parts of community, but never within an aspect of actually going, I'm an out gay man who has specific likes. Mm-hmm. Everybody who listens knows I like the bears. But now you've created this space where I now have more friends in this community who also identify within the same sort of umbrella, I suppose. Yeah. And you've helped make that, and you've kind of grown that thing, and the amount of connections that people are making now because of the hard work that you've done,
right.
It's extremely important. What are your hopes for the future of Fourscape Pride?
Well, I think obviously it's expanding physically, you know, at the moment, you know, we have, you know, the past, I can't remember how many, you know, probably 5-6 years, we've gone to a 3-day event, you know, where we have just kept adding things to what we do and promote. Now it's wanting, and it sort of has a life of its own in a way, because, you know, we want to reach out to other parts of our community that aren't being accessed by what we offer now. So, and I think one of the main things that we're really wanting to do is look into creating space and venues and opportunities for people to come together that aren't based around alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, alcohol is such a huge thing within, you know, the LGBTQIA community, you know, and our use of alcohol, that it's important, I think, that we also look at what we can provide for the community, because the community wants this as well. You know, what sort of space, what sort of events can we put on, what sort of things can we do that are not always based around alcohol? The other aspect is that here in Fourscape in East London, like Fourscape in particular, you know, where we live on the precipice, you know, of one of the largest, well, probably the largest Asian communities in all of the UK, you know, and in East London here. And we have a lot of people that don't use alcohol, and you know, we're alienating, you know, those people by not having by having just alcoholic events,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. So I think, you know, having events at the library, having events in community gardens like we're doing, and you know, at the marketplace and those sorts of things, we want to extend, you know.
There was a bike ride last year,
and oh yeah, we had a queer bike tour of all the old haunts that used to be in East London, which was really cool. They had people decorated their bikes and stuff. But just to get back to my point, I think it's how, you know, how do we build bridges? How do we build and facilitate people to access more of their community? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's almost becoming like it's this entity is demanding this now, yeah. You know, so we have to sort of respond to that. We can't just ignore that, you know, because the community is saying it, you know, where Fourscape Pride goes next is, you know, this is dictating where we're going,
yeah.
You know, and I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. So what's up in terms of entertainment this year? Mm-hmm. Who have you got on?
People. Yeah, we've got loads of people. Well, again, like we have some drag queens and drag acts. I'm just waiting on confirmation. I can't give out names at the moment because so
they'll have to go to the website, won't they?
Yes. Yeah. Let's go to the website. I can't say anything at the moment. I'm waiting for confirmation on about three people at the moment. But again, we have Frankie Sinatra, one of the original Rebel Dykes, you know, famous in their own right, you know, that run events at Bar Whatever and other venues and Royal Vauxhall Tavern and other venues as well around. They're hosting this year, which will be fantastic because they're such an incredible performer. We have, some musicians that will be performing during the day at the marketplace. We have, like I said, we have some great speakers that will be going on. But yeah, for more details about specifically who and what they do, I would suggest coming to our website, which is www.forestgatepride.com. So gate, we spell it GAYTE. Yeah, so forestgatepride.com. Yeah, so check it out.
And is there a Facebook page? And
We're on all the socials. So yeah, just do a search for Forestgate Pride and it should pop up. Yeah, we're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know, all the social
stuff.
All that stuff. Yeah.
And is there a parade this year?
No. We haven't done a parade since lockdown because as we've been growing, so, you know, like I said earlier on, like we've started out with 200 people, but over the course of, you know, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we can get anywhere up to, you know, 2,000, 3,000 people over the weekend at various, you know, points on the map. There is a map on the website that tells you where all the locations are and what's happening. So initially when we were doing our pride, we literally just walked down the street ourselves, you know, in and among traffic. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, the safety issues and stuff. But, you know, I guess ignorance is bliss. We just did it anyway. But yeah, as the numbers got bigger, it needed to be controlled a bit more. And, you know, we're looking at liability things and issues insurance and all that. So we are going to return to it. We haven't yet. So just because we're busy trying to build other areas of it. But yeah.
You might need help. More help with some organization.
Yeah, we always need help. And we need help with the some people with organization skills as well.
Yeah, totally.
Not just volunteers to help out. But yeah.
People who've got the executive functioning.
Yes, exactly.
That's
exactly,
very important. Yeah. There was another thing I was going to ask. And so this is the thing I was going to ask. It's not just this weekend in July. Forestgate Pride kind of happens all the way around, like once a month.
Oh, we do loads of events throughout the year, from, you know, queer cinema festivals to our monthly event, which we become quite known in the area for. It's called Kick Down the Closet, and it's the last Saturday of every month, and it's a social gathering where, you know, you can come and meet other like-minded people and share space and, you know, have some laughs and dance and, you know, have some fun. Mm. And that's all on our social media as well. So have a look for that
Should we tell them where it is?
Event. It's at the Forest Tavern.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's at the Forest Tavern in Forest Gate, directly across the street from Forest Gate Station. So it's hard not to miss it.
It's very accessible, just on the Elizabeth Lane.
Yeah.
So.
And it's, yeah, and it's one of the reasons we chose it is because the staff there are, you know, very queer positive, queer friendly. They're excellent allies. Many of them are queer themselves. And they have disability access as well. They are quite progressive with their toilets and that as well, so in case people worry about that sort of thing. So
I think it's a great space.
Yeah,
I think it's a good space for neurodivergent people as well. So we find a lot of LGBTQIA people who also kind of fit into that that spectrum. So for me, speaking from my perspective, that pub's quite good because you can sort of, there are spaces when you need a quiet space, there are spaces outside which have got heating and coverage, and you can just be quiet when all the noise is happening inside. So it's a very good venue for all that. And they do Polari.
Yeah.
Which is with some of that money goes towards LGBT.
Yeah, I believe it's 20p per drink goes to Stonewall. Yeah. It's a really good cause, really good charity. Yeah.
So if anybody's got any questions to ask you, where would they, via the website?
There's links on the website and obviously social media, please post them. One of us will definitely get back to you. We have Vlad Spencer, who's joined our committee this year, and Karen or myself, I'm Rob. And one of us will get back to you and answer any of your questions.
Excellent. Well, it's been lovely having you on the show again.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the little plug for Forest Gate Pride.
So, it wouldn't be a Pride Festival without a plug or two, would it?
Yeah, exactly.
And on that terrible note, thank you very much. And thanks for listening. This is the Stu Simpson Show podcast, and happy Pride. Bye.